changed, but he's back, so I'm going to have to introduce him on the hop. I'm very pleased that we've got Mr. Eduardo Nunes from the Director of the Brazilian Institute of Statistics, who's going to give the keynote talk. Martin Hilbert from ECLAC is going to talk about the partnerships publication, so you can see the results of what's coming out of the work. Mansour Farah from Esquire is going to give us a perspective on statistics harmonisation. We're going to have a presentation from BNDES, and no, that's the one that's cancelled. That's the one Richard's replacing. Okay, thank you. And Bob Shaw from the ITU was going to give the final conclusion, but a colleague of his is going to step in and do a briefer talk than Bob was going to, and then I hope we've got some time for question and answers. So without further ado, I'd like to hand over to our keynote speaker. Mr. Nunes, the floor is yours. By the way, we have translation into Portuguese for those of you that require that.
Bom, boa tarde a todos. Eu farei a minha apresentação num período de 15 minutos, onde o objetivo é mostrar os trabalhos realizados no Brasil no sentido de produzir estatísticas que o país possa dispor para a produção de informações sobre tecnologia de informação e comunicação. O primeiro slide, o próximo slide, por favor, é esse... Ah, tem. Este primeiro slide, como podem ver, revela o compromisso do governo brasileiro com a elaboração de informações sobre novas tecnologias, o acesso a novas tecnologias, tendo em vista o programa do governo brasileiro de inclusão digital. Então, se é essa a preocupação e o compromisso do governo brasileiro, o Instituto Brasileiro de Geografia e Estatística já elaborou uma série de parcerias com organismos nacionais e internacionais voltados à produção destas informações. O Comitê Gestor da Internet do Brasil, o Núcleo de Informação e Coordenação do .br, que é o NIC.br, o Instituto Brasileiro de Ciência e Tecnologia, de Informação em Ciência e Tecnologia, a Associação Brasileira de Software e o Observatório para a Sociedade da Informação Latino-Americana e o Caribe, o OSILAC, junto com a CEPAL. Esses são os organismos com os quais o Instituto Brasileiro de Geografia e Estatística trabalha na produção de informações. Já adotamos uma série de iniciativas para a produção destas estatísticas e que eu utilizarei aqui duas terminologias. As iniciativas para a produção de informações sobre o uso de tecnologia de informação e depois iniciativas quanto à produção de estatísticas sobre a oferta desses mesmos elementos. Em relação às estatísticas sobre uso de tecnologia de informação, de TIC, no Brasil nós temos uma série de pesquisas que falam, que revelam o número de pessoas e os respectivos domicílios que utilizam rádio, TV, telefone fixo, celular, computador e também o acesso à internet. A primeira vez em que as nossas estatísticas levaram em consideração estas informações foi durante a realização do censo demográfico do ano de 2000 e, desde 2000 até agora, todos os anos produzimos informações a esse respeito. Como podem ver nesse próximo slide, também tomamos uma série de iniciativas no sentido de produzir informações na área da oferta desses mesmos serviços. Realizamos uma pesquisa na área da pesquisa anual sobre serviços, em que temos um suplemento que mostra a estrutura da receita das empresas produtoras de serviços de informática e telecomunicações. Estamos, nesse momento, preparando uma outra pesquisa que se chama de pesquisa TIC Empresa, Tecnologia de Informação e Comunicação para as Empresas. É um trabalho que está em fase de preparação e que no próximo ano já estaremos realizando, e o objetivo é tornar esta pesquisa uma pesquisa anual. Quais as iniciativas adotadas no Brasil, a partir do Instituto Brasileiro de Geografia e Estatística, para a produção dessas informações? Temos um objetivo principal. Esse objetivo pode ser visto aqui, é o de avaliar a inclusão digital nos domicílios brasileiros. Isto porque há uma demanda crescente sobre essas informações no país. E o IBGE já incluiu uma série de variáveis em suas pesquisas domiciliares e pesquisas junto às empresas. Vou citar aqui algumas delas. A primeira delas, o Censo Demográfico de 2000, em que visitamos 45 milhões de domicílios para investigar o uso dessas variáveis de tecnologia de informação, como existência no domicílio de rádio, televisão, vídeo, cassete, telefone e computadores. Mais recentemente, como podem observar neste próximo slide, é uma pesquisa anual, chamada Pesquisa Nacional por Amostra de Domicílios, e inicialmente no ano de 2005 e posteriormente 2006 e nos todos os anos seguintes. Essa é uma pesquisa realizada em parceria com o Comitê Gestor da Internet no Brasil, e nela nós temos uma série de questões que estão exatamente de acordo com as preocupações dos organismos internacionais no que diz respeito à produção dos principais indicadores sobre rádio, TV, telefone, computadores, acesso à internet, infraestrutura de energia, o uso do computador no trabalho, na escola, na sua própria casa, em centros públicos de acesso, na casa de amigos, parentes, ou seja, uma investigação completa acerca dos locais onde os indivíduos acessam a internet, e também analisamos os motivos pelos quais são realizados esses acessos. O primeiro motivo é comunicação, ou então realizar atividades comerciais por meio da internet, atividades financeiras e bancárias por meio da internet, ou então interagir com entidades públicas ou do governo, acessar notícias de jornais e revistas, atividades de lazer, educação ou outros serviços. Essas indagações fazem parte da pesquisa a respeito dos motivos pelos quais os usuários acessam a internet, no caso brasileiro. Também no suplemento realizado em 2005, investigamos também o uso de telefones celulares e as formas de conexão principais, ou acesso discado ou de banda larga para acesso à internet. Quando estudamos o motivo pelo qual o informante não utiliza a internet, também verificamos essas respectivas causas, ou porque não considera necessário, ou pela dificuldade de acesso por não dispor de um computador, ou pelo desconhecimento da forma pela qual se utiliza a internet. Tudo isso faz parte da pesquisa que o IBGE... Não há... O nível de desagregação das informações publicadas sobre tecnologia de informação no Brasil são para todos os detalhes. Brasil, grandes regiões, por unidades da federação e por regiões metropolitanas. Ou seja, temos todo o detalhe regional para entender a forma de acesso, os instrumentos de acesso e também para entender em todo o território nacional o que leva o cidadão a usar ou não utilizar a internet e o microcomputador em sua casa ou em local de trabalho. Neste mesmo relatório sobre a pesquisa do IBGE no ano de 2005, em que realizamos um suplemento, também realizamos algumas recomendações para que nós tenhamos comparabilidade nos resultados, na medida em que é extremamente importante compreender os motivos ou as barreiras de acesso à internet. Na medida em que países menos desenvolvidos, esse é um ponto extremamente importante. O acesso a computador é muito mais amplo do que o acesso à internet. E muitas vezes a barreira ao acesso à internet está associado ao sistema de comunicação e de telecomunicação em cada país. Bom, outras iniciativas do IBGE para produzir informações na área de tecnologia de informação e comunicação podemos obter em uma série de pesquisas, outras pesquisas da instituição. Pesquisas sobre orçamentos familiares, a última realizada no ano de 2003, onde também não só estudamos o uso, como também o valor da despesa com esses diversos itens, rádio, televisão, telefone, computadores e acesso à internet. O nosso sistema de classificação de atividades econômicas também está incorporando essas nomenclaturas e essas atividades que são típicas da tecnologia de informação e comunicação, inclusive criando um setor chamado setor informacional, outro setor de tecnologia de informação e comunicação, e também temos uma próxima etapa, que é a revisão do sistema de classificação, na qual teremos que levar em consideração a tecnologia de informação pelo lado das empresas e a tecnologia de informação pelo lado das famílias. No que diz respeito às empresas, o IBGE realiza desde o ano de 2000 pesquisas sobre as empresas fornecedoras desses serviços, tanto de comunicação quanto de informação de acesso à internet, ou seja, informática e telecomunicações. Todas as empresas com 20 ou mais pessoas ocupadas fazem parte do universo dessa pesquisa, que foi iniciada no ano de 2000, é uma pesquisa anual, e a última informação está disponível para o ano de 2005. A principal variável investigada é exatamente a receita operacional líquida das empresas com essas atividades. Gostaria também de mostrar aqui as principais atividades técnicas e de cooperação técnica do IBGE, do Instituto de Estatística Brasileiro, na área de tecnologia de informações. Cito aqui três importantes, que exatamente o primeiro são os talheres sobre medição da Sociedade de Informação na América Latina e o Caribe, que é coordenada pela CEPAL. Já foram realizados dois seminários, um no Chile e outro na República Dominicana. Também o Seminário Mundial sobre a Sociedade de Informação, o primeiro realizado em Genebra e o segundo 2 anos depois, em 2005, na Tunísia. E sempre que no âmbito da OSD são organizadas reuniões sobre tecnologia de informação e de comunicação, o Brasil é representado e sempre o Instituto de Estatística brasileiro envia os seus representantes. Nesse momento, no momento atual, um passo importante que o IBGE está realizando é exatamente a preparação de uma pesquisa de tecnologia de informação no âmbito da empresa, ou seja, todo o trabalho no âmbito das famílias e dos domicílios já está bastante ampliado dentro do país, esse trabalho. Agora nós estamos caminhando na direção de fazer o mesmo em relação à tecnologia de informação e de comunicação e o seu uso no âmbito das empresas. Esse trabalho está em fase de organização. Realizamos em conjunto, em parceria com o Comitê Gestor da Internet no Brasil, e a previsão é de que os seus resultados já estejam disponíveis no ano de 2009. Quais as principais características dessa pesquisa de tecnologia de informação e comunicação no âmbito das empresas? Cerca de 30 mil empresas farão parte desta pesquisa, serão investigadas. As formas de captação de informação serão todas por meio de entrevistas por telefone e algumas delas pessoais. Será uma pesquisa de abrangência nacional, com um nível de divulgação para todo o território nacional. O tempo de realização dessa pesquisa será de 12 meses e, no momento da divulgação, tanto serão os seus resultados divulgados em papel, em CD-ROM, na internet e por meio de tabulações especiais. Que informações nós teremos nessa pesquisa? Número de computadores, linhas telefônicas, acesso à internet, redes utilizadas pela empresa, existência de página web, percentagem de empregados que utilizam computadores na empresa, percentagem deles que acessam à internet, que desenvolvem software, os tipos de sistema de informática utilizados e, nas variáveis investigadas sobre a internet, a finalidade do uso da internet na empresa, os serviços disponíveis, se a empresa tem página na web, se tem serviços eletrônicos e de segurança e se realiza comércio eletrônico por meio da internet. Essas seriam as principais questões que estariam envolvendo a pesquisa sobre tecnologia de informação e comunicação no âmbito da empresa. Ou seja, no caso brasileiro, no que diz respeito à produção de informações sobre tecnologia de informação e comunicação, o Instituto de Estatística já está bastante avançado no que diz respeito à produção de informação no âmbito do domicílio, para sabermos quantos domicílios, quantos indivíduos acessam e quais os motivos e dificuldades de acesso à internet. E agora estamos caminhando para desenvolver o mesmo trabalho no âmbito das empresas. Esse trabalho no âmbito das empresas, a pesquisa já começou a ser preparada e, como eu já anunciei, no ano de 2009 já teremos os primeiros resultados. Espero, nesse curto período de tempo, ter dado o recado sobre o nosso trabalho. Agradeço a oportunidade e me coloco à disposição de todos para prestar mais esclarecimentos. Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much for that very informative presentation. As someone who's at the OECD, I can say your colleagues have also come and made very impressive presentations at our meeting. If there's a question of clarification, I'd propose to take that now, but otherwise I'd... If there was a question of clarification, I'd propose to take that now. Otherwise, I propose to take all the speakers and then have Q&A. Q&A at the end. There's a lady here with a question. Perhaps Martin could bring you the microphone. And while we're taking this question, if our helpers at the back could bring up Martin's PowerPoint, that would help in terms of expediting things. You may need to press the mute button or the...
Thank you very much. I just want to find out, maybe I did not catch it when you were explaining, especially the survey, which is so national, and also you go to the companies. But it was not clear to me who's funding that survey that you are expecting the outcome to come in 2009, whether it's a private public partnership, or it's one of the sectors that is funding such a survey.
O desenvolvimento da metodologia do Instituto de Estatística Brasileiro em parceria com o Comitê Gestor da Internet. No sistema estatístico brasileiro, nós trabalhamos de duas formas. Sempre quando há um tema novo, esse tema é produto de uma demanda de um usuário interessado, e esse usuário interessado apoia o Instituto de Estatística, portanto, realizamos uma parceria, tanto para conceber a pesquisa, como para buscar os fundos necessários ao financiamento das suas primeiras etapas. Depois que esse processo passa a ser um sistema regular de produção de informações estatísticas, passa a ser financiado exclusivamente pelo setor público brasileiro ao qual o Instituto de Estatística pertence. Ou seja, até o ano de 2009, será uma parceria público-privada para a concepção da pesquisa, preparação, identificação do mecanismo de condução da pesquisa, o financiamento dos primeiros trabalhos contará também com recursos privados interessados, mas depois que esta informação se tornar regular, passa a fazer parte do programa de trabalho da instituição, inclusive porque faz parte do próprio plano plurianual do governo brasileiro de ampliar o grau de inclusão digital, onde a informação também é importante.
I can see more questions, but I'm afraid if we don't move on to the next speakers, we really won't get through the session. So I'd like to ask that Martin Hilbert's presentation be brought up on the PowerPoint, please, from ECLAC.
Pode colocar a próxima apresentação, por favor. Poderia colocar a próxima apresentação, por favor? Muito obrigado. I've been asked to give a short overview about the work of this partnership as you, maybe some introductory words. The partnership was basically born. You see there a lot of logos. These are all the members of the partnership. Of course, the traditional United, it's basically around the United Nations family. So there's, of course, the ITU, there's UNCTAD, which is, of course, very important for commerce indicators. There's the UN Regional Commissions. The UN Regional Commissions are traditionally a lot closer on the ground, especially working also with technical ministries or national statistical institutes. And there, of course, is the OECD and Eurostat, the ones with most experience, where we all are learning from with regards to ICT indicators. And there are other colleagues as well as, for example, the World Bank, who, of course, has very extensive experience in indicators work. So basically, this partnership was born during the World Summit on the Information Society, because we all have been aware that ICT statistics are very scarce and that we all would like to work on it. The basic first idea is that we should work on ICT statistics together with the people who usually work with the statistics, who are the national statistical institutes, as, for example, IBGE, a very also resource-rich organization in Brazil, of which Mr. Nunes is the president, a very large research entity and the largest producer and the official producer of statistics in Brazil, for example. So what we did is we said, first of all, we have to start to get a common set of indicators, of ICT core indicators. So we've been working on that, and that is already achieved. I will talk a little bit about that. Then we said, well, then we have to assist, especially these national statistical institutes, to develop methodologies, and especially in the developing world. And this is something that happened for the first time, also many people said, ever, that these ICT core indicators, and that this works from the first day, was recognizing the needs of developing countries. Of course, first of all, we read the methodologies that have been produced in Paris by the OECD or in Eurostat, but then we also, with the United Nations family, we integrated the needs of developing countries into that in order to measure the information society and the digital divide also in the South. And then right now we are working on integrating a global, all of these indicators that have been gathered on a global, in a global database. So let's look first on these core indicators. That is pretty much a success story inside the United Nations and on the international level per se. This idea of working on the core indicators, we first started on that in 2004, so not even 3 or 4 years ago. We were heavily relying on the work of OECD and Eurostat to start with these core indicators, and we put them together in these, in this core indicators. It's a little, it's not even a manual, it's just a list of core indicators. We harmonized them. We basically looked what indicators have already been collected, published this publication, and this year, a couple of months ago in March, this entire list has been approved by the United Nations Statistical Commission with the suggestion for all national statistical institutes around the world to collect these indicators. Why do you say that's a success story? For example, in my division, I'm working in United Nations ECLAC together with people that work for rural development and agricultural development, and these poor people are working and really fighting for 20 years already that some of their indicators will be included in the household surveys and the business surveys, and they did not achieve a lot until now. And now we come with the ICT, and in only 3 or 4 years, really we have also the political visibility, and we achieved that these statistical institutes, the most powerful producers of information around the world, that these adopt these indicators as a recommendation and that they integrate them into their household and business surveys. And as you have seen from the very successful case of Brazil, Brazil is a leading country in the developing world of collecting ICT indicators. So Mr. Nunes is not only with us today because we are in Brazil and in Rio de Janeiro, but he is usually also on many, many other events together with us because Brazil really pushed that forward. He made alliances also with other sectors in order to be able to adopt these recommendations and to collect these indicators and to mainstream them into the statistical machinery of the country. So here you see the core indicators. We do not have to go into details. You find the lists on the internet and the various publications of the partnership, of course, on our web pages. We have 10 core indicators for infrastructure and access. So these are basically the ones you know, right? That do you have a fixed line mobile phone or a computer or internet access? One of those is also if there is a percentage of localities with public access centers. So, of course, this question is not very interesting to the OECD, for example, or for Eurostat, but here you can see also that these recommendations from the partnership are really oriented for the developing world. Then there are 10 indicators for ICT access in households and by individuals, eight core indicators we recommend to collect in business surveys, and 4 indicators for the ICT sectors. So if you see how many of them around the world have already been integrated, we basically see a large advancement of infrastructure indicators, which we all know, that's basically the ones collected by the ITU, by the administrative registers from the ITU, around 90% of the countries, so 80-90% of the countries around the world are already connecting these typical indicators about if you have a fixed phone or mobile phone, or if you have a computer or internet access. This goes down a lot if we go to the integration of these indicators and household surveys. The methodological difference is basically what ITU does, of course, is getting these data from administrative registry, which at the end come from the telecommunications operators, for example. So a telecommunications operator knows to how many households he put a cable. However, he does not have any idea what happens inside that house. So there you need the household surveys, which are carried out by statistical institutions such as the IBGE. And here also the IBGE and other national statistical offices have advanced rapidly, very rapidly, really surprisingly rapidly, in comparison to other sectors of development, in integrating these indicators into their household surveys. Of course, as you might imagine, these data are still much more available in the developed world, in the OECD and in Europe, as in the developing world. What I show you here, to show you a little bit the success stories of working on ICT indicators, these are the data you see on ICT equipments in Latin America. That's only Latin America. The number of countries that had integrated ICT equipment questions in 2004, that's what you see here. And you see 2 years later, it was already a third more of countries that integrated that. Even more so in ICT use. In 2004, there have only been 3 countries, and in 2006, 2 years later, when the World Summit finished, already 9 countries in Latin America, in the developing world, integrated a question about ICT use into the household survey. I really want to emphasize this because you might imagine how much lobbying is going on around integrating one more question into a household survey. There's an innumerous of lobbying parties that go on to statistical institutes such as the IBGE and try to include the question, and the ICT measurement community has been very effective in achieving that. If we go now to business indicators, the story is a lot less rosy. Still not many business surveys integrate ICT questions. Basically, first of all, because the lobbying is a lot stronger on the household side, especially in the developing world. We know that the ICT story is basically a consumer story until now. It's not really a question of productive development yet, and the impact is still very low. But secondly, we also have seen, especially by the presentation of President Nunes, that National Statistical Office in the South are now, well, Brazil leading this effort, are now aggressively starting to integrate ICT indicators into the business and innovation surveys. And we go to the last one, that's basically the ICT sector and trade. These are, again, such as the first one, these are mostly administrative registers. For example, the trade in goods and services, you register them with international commerce databases, so these indicators are as well widely available. So to make a short resume of where we are right now after 3 or 4 years of working on ICT indicators. We have a large availability of data from administrative register. That's basically the telecom indicators that are harmonized for more than a decade now by the ITU, with a really great work the ITU is doing and constantly taking up this and harmonizing this data, and also on trade. There are around the world, there are considerable number of trade of goods and services of ICT. There's a fast and effective inclusion of indicators and household surveys in some regions. For example, you have seen Latin America, but other regions, the integration is a lot slower, of course, if you see, especially in Africa and other Asian regions, national statistical institutes did not get yet, hopefully, not yet, as excited about the inclusion and the measurement of the information societies. And a much slower advancement in business surveys, but we heard just now the good announcement that national statistical institutes are starting to help us with that. And of course, there are remaining challenges, especially in education and government. This is still not really measured. We are very aware of this in the partnership and also starting to work now to foster the measurement of the ICT phenomenon in education and in government, in e-government. So our focus right now and for the upcoming year, having done some of the methodological work, so we have an agreed list of indicators. There has also been published right now, we are discussing in the partnership, and ITU is about to publish a manual for measuring these ICT questions, for integrating them into surveys. UNCTAD has just published a manual and a methodological guide for ICT indicators in business services. Also, many regional commissions are working on that. So basically, we are now focusing on integrating them and providing technical assistance. The partnership, we have received 45 requests from developing country national statistical offices. That's about a fourth of the countries that exist in the world that have particularly directly contacted us and told us we need help to integrate these questions into our household and business surveys. So as you can see, the goodwill is there. You just need also just technical assistance is required right now to help these statistical experts to integrate these kind of questions. So so basically, this is what we plan to do during the next year, to work aggressively on technical assistance and to implement these questionnaires, and then also, of course, to continue to work on a global database. As you know, there's still not really a global database except of the telecommunications database of the ITU, but for ICT usage and also for ICT access in businesses, there's not yet a coherent global database, and we're trying to work on that. In some regions, it already exists. For example, in Latin America, we just published 3 months ago a statistical system which provides all the questionnaire of households, and we think also during next year, what will be a lot more demanded now are the analysts. Because from our side, from the partnership, as to tell you, compared with other areas of work inside the United Nations, this ICT measurement area has evolved very, very fast. It received very wide acceptance by the statistical communities. Now the indicators are being produced, and during the next year also, we have the outlook, and we will start to need to analyze this data and to learn more about the specificities of the digital divide. Thank you.
Martin, thank you very much. While we're bringing up the Esquire PowerPoint, Martin, perhaps you could help me with the Portuguese to ask the next presentation be brought up. I propose to take one question just while we're swapping the PowerPoints. So, lady in the front didn't get a chance last time. The microphone is there. If you could be very brief, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Sorry. I just wanted to ask, how much did African country NSOs participate in the identification and endorsement of these ICT indicators? Because it's been raised on a number of occasions that the manner in which ICT development is reflected is not always in line with the way they would thought it, expected it to be. So just how much participation was there in the preparation and the identification and endorsement of the indicators? Thank you.
Well, I think very much. Basically, this core indicators list how we created that in 2004. So we made a global survey on metadata. So we asked all the NGOs all around the world what they are already measuring and what they would like to measure. And on basis of this, then we started to harmonize that. And ECA, the Economic Commission for Africa, was very involved in that. I don't have the correct number in my head, but a lot of NSOs also from African countries participated. Of course, now, you will never have an international agreed list on statistics indicators which adequately reflects the particularities of every country and every region. That's basically the trade-off you always have. If you really want to measure what's important for your country, you have to create your own indicators list. However, the trade-off is you will not be able to compare it with nobody else. So basically, there had been a lot of compromises, I know, also from Latin America, from Africa, and also from the developed world of the OECD, if you can see, they accepted to integrate indicators, questions about telephony in enterprises. In the OECD, they're not asking about telephony in enterprises for many decades anymore, about radio usage, about television penetration. In the OECD, they do not foster that anymore, about public access. So basically, this has been a compromise, and we think that In comparison with all other in global recommendations there are, this list very much reflects the need of the developing countries. There's been a very active, actually a best practice, an active participation of the statistical community in the South. But of course, at the end, nobody can really be happy in the end, and you have to dig a little bit more into the regional national specificity always.
We're going to have to go to the next presentation. I'd like to move straight to Esquire, please.
Okay. Thank you. What I would like to tell you in the next 5 minutes is how Esquire has dealt with the harmonization of statistics in the region. Western Asia is the smallest of the regions in the world. It has 13 members, and we have been involved in the partnership on measuring ICT for development from the beginning, and actually we focused mainly on capacity building because practically all national statistics offices didn't collect any data on information technology. They were limited to ICT, to communications only that come from institutions. Okay, so what we did was mainly to organize training workshops for the region and hold expert group meetings, as well as send advisors to the member countries trying to solve problems locally. And we published also a few publications in Arabic for the benefit of the member countries. We built a portal for indicators and in general for the information society, and also statistics too. So I will run through them one by one very quickly. The training workshops, the most recent ones were first generic in type workshop on information society measurements, core indicators, statistics, and data collection. That was based on the document of core ICT indicators. And we had to run it twice practically because of the number of participants. And the third one, which was quite recently organized in Cairo with the help of UNCTAD, OECD, ITU, Arab Regional Office, AITRS, which is the Arab Institute of Training and Research in Statistics and others, focused mainly on household and business surveys. The expert group meetings, the most recent one was also held in February in Cairo, and it dealt with new indicators for education and e-government. It was organized in coordination with the UNDESA and the UNESCO Institute for Statistics, as well as the Egyptian Information Decision-Making Support Center. Advisory services were provided to many countries at their request, of course. This is a list of countries. Some of them are in the Gulf, others are in the eastern part of the country. And I don't think I need to run through them, but usually they have these advisory services and national training are carried out by consultants who go on the field and try to help the organization, the office, the statistics office, or the ICT statistics unit, which is in the ministry or the ICT establishment, to design surveys, to start collecting data and analyze them. Publications, we are now publishing 13 national profiles that give an idea of how each member country is faring as far as ICT is concerned, with, of course, all the indicators, related indicators. And then we make a sort of analysis, regional analysis in the regional profile. This comes out every 2 years, and the 2007 will be published before December. We also translated the core ICT indicators document to Arabic and produced guidelines on ICT indicators, distributed also to all offices, statistics offices. A web portal was also designed, and it will be ready early 2008. It is an interactive portal where you find everything about the information society, but particularly the ICT indicators of the region and of the member countries. And it has a collaborative environment for knowledge sharing in online communities and acts as a catalyzer for the community of practice, bringing together potential partners for development activities and ICT projects. Finally, statistics tools. We have a database, a regional database, that we built during the past 4 years, and it is now online on the web. It is also available for member countries to use it in a server, in a client server mode in their own institution or country, if they like. And it produces graphics, and it is bilingual again, and it makes the ICT indicators available to any policymakers and interested parties. Let me finish with the challenges that are facing national statistics offices. Actually, these are common to practically all developing countries. There is a lack of awareness of the importance of ICT indicators and a sort of reluctance to include relevant questions in their regular surveys. There is a limited knowledge of definitions and ways of computing indicators, as well as a lack of sources of data for IT particularly. For example, the number of PCs, they cannot compute them since some PCs are collected out of parts, spare parts, and the users also is difficult to count. The trade, there is lots of black and gray market, exports and imports, and IT companies that are hidden, you don't see them. While in the telecom sector, it's very clear. The absence of historical data also is extremely important. There is also difficulty in identifying questions related to ICT usage to be included in surveys, and that's where we come up with the help, with the advisory services. Limited follow-up capacity on international definitions, so we carry out these workshops, training workshops, to help them keep up to date. And there is a lack of cooperation between NSOs and the ministries of ICT. This is also a difficulty that we try to solve. As I mentioned here, how we solve each of these problems, but actually by providing advisory services, by training the staff, hands-on training of the national statistics offices, and by providing training on ICT indicators, data collection, analysis, designing questionnaires, collecting, validating data, and as well as providing advanced training also on new indicators, methodologies, and classifications, enhancing and cementing the cooperation between NSOs and the ministries, teach them how to collaborate on ICT data collection. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Monsieur. Since we started a little late, I propose to extend the session a little. We may lose interpretation, so I would ask you to bear with us. Richard Brass of Industry Canada.
Thank you, Sam. And I'll be, I'm with the Canadian Department of Industry, and I've been asked to briefly talk about statistics from a user perspective. And I don't have any slide presentation. I'll be brief. I'll be very brief, Mr. Chair. But before I do cover the few points I want to make, I'd like to go back to what Martin said and add very briefly to the points Martin made about the partnership. Three quick points. The first one is that the partnership is really, as Martin said, is really a success story, and I think it's underestimated how much of a success it is. It's not every day that you see so many UN agencies getting together and agree on something. And it's not every day that you see the World Bank agreeing to the same set of indicators. It's quite an astonishing feature, actually, to see all these organizations agreeing on a core set of indicators that everyone will apply. The second point about the partnership is that this core set agreed upon is a starting point. It's evolutive. People will continue, these organizations will continue to discuss indicators, will move slowly from infrastructure-based into usage, into eventually impact indicators at the same pace, with the same partnership in mind, the same spirit in mind. So I think that's a very interesting feature as well. And the third point is that the partnership very wisely stayed away from index. We're talking about indicators here. We're not talking about an index. There's a few organizations that have come up with indices, and everyone can look at the merits of a particular index, but there's no worldwide agreement on any index. It's always very contentious, whereas the set of indicators that were shown here, they're consensus-based. Everyone agrees to use them. So now, turning to the perspective of a user, why do we think as a user, as a Canadian user, for instance, that this common set, this common base of indicators is important? It's important in my mind for four main reasons, and I'll briefly go over them. First one is about tracking progress. Given the rapid diffusion of ICTs across economies, statistics provide a mechanism to track progress and forecast future trends. Tracking progress is becoming, however, more and more complex. So we need to go beyond traditional infrastructure indicators. We need to start monitoring access, usage. Of course, looking at both supply side and demand side. We need to be a bit more specific in our tracking. We need to look at sectors, very specific sectors of the economy. We need to disaggregate according to size of firms. We need to look at consumer and households usage much more precisely. And eventually, we'll move into impact indicators. That's quite a challenge. It's very much more difficult to measure, but we will need to really sit down and look at the impact of ICTs on economic, social, and even environmental life. Second element is policy development. When you do evidence-based policy development, you require a solid foundation with reliable statistics. This allows policymakers to develop and refine policies on the adoption and use of ICTs. Policymaking is now largely focused on sectoral issues, on applications. So indicators have to follow this trend and provide the sound basis for policymakers when they look at specific sectors such as education or health, for instance. Third element, research. Quantitative research has to rely on data collection. Future research will intensify as more data is added and trends are developed in order to help users better understand the impacts of these technologies. And this research will link more and more to the concept of looking at ICTs as a general purpose technology. It will provide us with a more solid foundation to look at impact, as I was saying. And in Canada, for instance, we're starting to explore the concept of a second level digital divide. And this second level is about those that are connected to an internet. There's a big divide between people connected but not using internet and people connected and using internet. And there's a lot of economic and social reasons why this is happening, the second level divide. It doesn't, of course, preclude or forego the concern about the first level digital divide, but we have to start in our research, think about this second level. And the last point I'd like to make is about the ability to benchmark. When you want to benchmark countries, benchmarking countries is now becoming more and more essential, given the global nature of the internet. Progress within one's own country is no longer a measure of success. Countries need to know who the leaders are and learn from them, in terms of what is comparable and determine what their requirements are in meeting today's information society. And again, this benchmarking process is not just about infrastructures as it was perhaps 10 years ago. We're moving much more into access issues, into usage issues, eventually into impact. OECD has a bit of data on impact, but much more needs to be done to have proper benchmarking. So I'll stop here, Mr. Chair. Hope I was brief.
Richard, you're perfect, and I commend you on your own personal role in the partnership. While there was a lot of collegiality and cooperation, you were also there to remind us that the users were what's important in this whole process. Finally, our final speaker is from the ITU, Juan Sadler. He's agreed to step in for Bob Shaw, who unfortunately couldn't make this meeting. Juan, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I will try to be short as possible. In reality, Bob will make on behalf of the Market Information and Statistics Unit, or the BDT in the ITU. A major challenge today remains the limited availability of data. While ICT infrastructure and access data are widely available, at least for the large majority of countries, still only very few countries collect data on ICT access and usage in the different sectors of the economy. While the partnership has made an important contribution by identifying the current core list of indicators, this alone is not enough. What will determine the impact of this core list is whether countries will actually adopt this list and start collecting the data. The partnership will have to continue its efforts to convince policymakers of the importance of collecting data on ICT's access and use in the different sectors of the economy, including in households, business, the government, and the educational sector. The region that has probably made the greatest progress in terms of the number of countries that have started collecting ICT data is Latin America. If you look at this chart, which compares the number of countries that collect ICT data in 2004 compared with 2006, we can see that the number of countries has increased significantly in just 2 years' time. By 2006, more and more countries have started collecting ICT household data, both in terms of ICT equipment and ICT use. A number of countries in Latin America have recently added ICT modules to existing household surveys, and more countries are expected to have up-to-date ICT data in the near future. Probably one of the greatest challenges that the partnership has identified has to do with the lack of intra-government cooperation, in particular the lack of communication between the national regulatory authorities, telecom ministry, and the national statistics office. Governments need to secure funding to carry out ICT surveys or to add questions to existing surveys, which is usually a less expensive way of collecting ICT data. in order to identify the technical needs of countries, the partnership developed and sent out a capacity building questionnaire. Besides the system technical expertise of the NSO, the partnership needs to take into consideration other factors, including a country commitment towards collecting ICT indicators and the degree of cooperation between the policymakers, regulatory authorities, and the NSOs. These efforts are undertaken in cooperation with the regional commissions. While more countries are adopting the system core list of indicators, the partnership has made a commitment to expand the list of indicators. The main focus of the partnership is the adoption of indicators in the area of education and government. Finally, an area that the partnership is not directly involved in yet, but that it is important to its work, is the area of ICT for development. Although it has been widely recognized that ICTs are an important tool for social and economic development, more and continued research has to be carried out to strengthen this link. A number of partnership members are involved in the ICT for the including ITU and OECD. Work in this area includes the ITU's 2006 quarterly communications ICT development report, as well as the OECD working party of indicators for the information society paper on measuring the impact of ICT using official statistics. This is the shortest way to do it. Please, any question that you have, you can address to indicators ITU.int. Thank you.
Juan, thanks very much for standing in to Bob. That's very much appreciated. If the interpreters will bear with us, we'd like to take two or three questions. Could all those that wanted to raise questions raise their hand so I can get an idea of how many there are? I see four hands raised, so I'm going to cut it off there. Sorry, five hands raised, so no more than that. Could we start with the gentleman there? And could I ask you to keep your questions very short? Sir, the floor is yours. Please identify yourself.
Eu acredito que a mais importante contribuição que a ICT dará para o desenvolvimento será através da educação, no futuro mais próximo. Por isso mesmo, acredito que é mandatório que haja a coleta da disponibilidade de infraestrutura, equipamento, de ICT nas escolas. Esse dado é essencial para planejamento, para a previsão do futuro de qualquer país. Da mesma forma, não sei se esse é o caso em outros países, mas no Brasil, há uma atividade que está crescendo enormemente e que merece uma mensuração. É distance learning. Quais as instituições que estão habilitadas a fazê-lo e como estão fazendo? Esses dados são disponíveis nos conselhos estaduais de educação no Brasil, por exemplo. Eu acredito que, embora o IBGE não tenha falado sobre isso, esses dados, de alguma forma, existem no Ministério da Educação, através do INEP, o Instituto do Ministério da Educação, que coleta informações nas escolas. Gostaria de, talvez, aprofundar isso um pouco, porque acho que realmente tem que fazer parte, necessariamente, da medição da contribuição da ICT para o desenvolvimento.
Sam, you would like make me to...
I think if we take two or three questions to start with, and then we get the panelists to respond to those questions. So.
Okay. Yes, my name is Ichikawa, from Hitachi in Japan. And about 4 years, I was chairman of the e-government working group of GBDE, one organization of private sectors. And from the experience of the chairman, I would like to one comment or a proposal. Generally speaking, the investment or examination of RCT are usually or mainly about penetration. But for me, as a civilian or an individual, the expectation for using ICT, especially using the internet, is to reduce time at e-shopping or at e-government. For example, the time between whom I order some goods and get the goods from the e-shopping, or at the time between from when I require to issue some documents and get some document against the government and I get it. So I propose to measure the reduce ratio of turnaround time in some concrete examples. So this is my comment or proposal.
Thank you very much. We've had a question on the need for ICT and education and the need for e-government and efficiency. Could I take the question over there? Or perhaps the microphone go there and you could ask your question, sir.
Okay, thanks. My name is Eric Iriarte. I am from Peru. I am working in internet governance aspects. I have a direct question for all of you. All the indicators are about lines, house, e-commerce, but you don't have in any of the websites indicators about how many domain names, how many IP numbers, how many hosts, how many servers. And this is important, sorry, but because that data means how increase or decrease the market, secondary market, primary market, domain names of e-commerce inside the countries, about contents inside the countries, about how believe or not in their CCTLD, and about IPv4 numbers and IPv6 numbers too. Maybe I lose in some part of the world, but I don't know why it's not inside included the ITU. ITU only included broadband and only included internet users, but not included IPv or domain names numbers. Thanks.
Thank you. A question on internet indicators. The lady there, could you ask your question, please?
Okay. My name is Hopotso Tsotetsi. I'm from South Africa. I just wanted to find out whether the global partnership would also explore coordinating a process of a core list of education and e-government and e-health and all other sectors that are related to ICTs that are flagged out in WISIS documents.
Thank you. There was one question here from the gentleman in the shirt, and then I'd propose to close off the questions and get comments from the panel.
Thank you. Mike Jensen, independent consultant, South Africa. Actually, my first and primary question was the same as the gentleman from Peru about more advanced independent indicators on internet. I know the OECD has looked at autonomous system numbers, and I was wondering how important that was and from the panelists' point of view, as well as those other ones. But the other question I had was relating to the possibility for updating the stock-taking exercise of the partnership, not only to get a better global trend of the ability of the national statistical officers to gather the sort of household information, which is obviously going to be of more importance, but also to include some of the key countries that did not participate in the first stock-taking exercise, in particular Nigeria, South Africa, and China didn't participate in that initial stock-taking exercise. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. What I'd like to do is ask Martin to rejoin us and then start at this end of the panel, and for each of the panelists to have a final minute and whichever the questions you feel most able to comment on in your minute or so, could you address those questions, please?
Okay, I would like to address the question about the lack of certain indicators in the set of core ICT indicators. Actually, the name is core ICT indicators. It was the minimum, really. We didn't want to have too many indicators. If we can collect these 42 basic indicators, then it would be great, because some countries don't even have two or three out of the 42. So we tried to strike a balance between the most advanced countries who have data about, who don't care even about TV and electricity because it's, anyway, it's available, and the some African countries where they don't even have radio or TV. So we had to have a sort of balance, and the IP numbers or others are a more advanced, let's say, feature. Also about local content, there is local content, and these core indicators do not limit the countries, but at least they should get these core indicators, but they can add to them depending on their conditions. So they don't limit countries, they can always enrich them with other indicators. But to compare countries, at least we should have this core set of indicators.
Eduardo, 1 minute, please.
Bom, também brevemente, eu gostaria de começar comentando a pergunta do técnico do Peru e o consultor da África do Sul a respeito da importância de indicadores diferentes dos que hoje nós produzimos. Eu diria que, por exemplo, no caso do Brasil, em que estamos preparando uma pesquisa sobre empresas produtoras de serviços de telecomunicação e informação, o primeiro trabalho feito no Brasil foi o de mudar o seu sistema de classificação de atividades, exatamente para contemplar todas as empresas nos diversos ramos de tecnologia de informação e comunicação. Uma vez atualizada a classificação, inicia-se uma pesquisa em que pretendemos divulgar os seus resultados em 2009 com dois principais indicadores. O primeiro, número de empresas que atuam fornecendo serviços de telecomunicação e informação. Vale dizer, todas elas. E a receita, quanto cada uma dessas empresas arrecadou em cada ano com a prestação desses serviços de telecomunicação e informação. Consequentemente, para produzir essas informações, eu também terei que saber quantas são provedoras de serviços, os diversos tipos de classificação dos segmentos em que o Peru e a África do Sul estão aqui chamando atenção. Então, essa é uma preocupação da pesquisa que o IBGE pretende fazer. Não sobre o número de servidores, não sobre o número de domínios, porque isso nós até temos. Por exemplo, o Comitê Gestor da Internet no Brasil tem condições de dizer quantos domínios estão registrados na internet no nosso país. Seria preciso simplesmente fazer um levantamento da informação disponível. Mas isso existe. O importante é ter uma pesquisa sobre empresa que dê uma visão clara sobre o setor de telecomunicação e de informação no país. Tá? Bom, e em relação ao comentário feito pelo brasileiro também sobre a importância da internet na área da educação, tecnologia de informação e comunicação na educação, inclusive com educação à distância, realmente, além do IBGE, que é o Instituto Brasileiro de Geografia e Estatística, o Ministério da Educação, ele produz informações sobre um censo escolar, sobre as características das escolas no país. E, no caso do IBGE, quando verificamos, quando pesquisamos nos domicílios, verificamos junto às famílias o grau de instrução da população que tem ou não acesso a esse serviço e quais as causas do não acesso. Então, por meio da pesquisa domiciliar, eu também posso ter uma característica maior sobre o grau de instrução da população que utiliza essas informações.
Thank you. Man, quick comment, very quick.
Thank you. Very quick. Two comments, one on the education, the other one on the stock taking. With regards to education, yes, we are very aware of that, and as you know, the UNESCO Institute of Statistics is part of the partnership and is working currently on education indicators. However, as you know, the philosophy we have in the partnership is not to double efforts. So basically what we like to do with this effort, as we are United Nations also and we come from these long-standing entities, we would like to modernize and introduce these indicators into existing surveys. Why did we opt for this philosophy and not, why did we not opt to raise new funds and make new ICT surveys only? Why do we take up the fight and try to integrate ICT indicators into existing surveys? Basically because it's a lot more efficient and it's a lot more sustainable. Because if you have an ICT indicator in the PISA questionnaire of the OECD, for example, or in other education surveys, you can cross-tabulate these indicators with all of the other 80 or 90 or 70 questions they are already asking for decades, and then you also can go back and you have a lot. Well, and on the other hand, it's a lot more sustainable. As you heard, now the EBJ is starting to adopt these indicators into their regularly publicly financed questionnaires. So right now, I would say in the educational sector, we are in this stage. The UNESCO Institute of Statistics is right now looking into existing education surveys, the regular education surveys, and on basis of this, we are trying to integrate ICT indicators and not to make double effort. With regard to the stock taking, yes, right now we are doing a second stock taking exercise. We are right now finishing a publication on the partnership, and we hope that it will be published at the end of the year. So if you visit our webpage, we will also diffuse it. At the end of the year, we have a new state-of-the-art, where is ICT measurement, which countries are measuring what, how far have they advanced, and what is still missing.
Richard. Quickly, Mr. Chair. As a user, that's my perspective here, so it's difficult to answer any of the questions. But I'll talk about two challenges that the partnership has and which respond to several of the questions. The first challenge is to continue to grow. And as I was saying, the set of indicators that was presented here is the starting point, common set, common core. And the first challenge is to agree to add new indicators, some were suggested here today, in a consensual fashion. Everyone would have to agree. The second challenge is about capacity building. The partnership is involved in a number of capacity building initiatives, particularly through the UN regional commissions. And that's very challenging. It requires a lot of funding, of course. It requires new partners at the table, and some donor agencies have been approached to support these capacity building initiatives. And that will address to some extent, the integration of indicators into sectoral activities like education, health, and so on.
Juan, would you like a final comment?
Yes, very short. I would like also to talk about the lack of some indicators, as Peru raised the question, and also the consultant from South Africa. In the case of ITU, at least traditionally, the ITU is getting information from countries. Then, for example, in the case of Peru, this is coming from the regulatory body, that is OCIPTEL, from the Ministry of Transport and Communications, and with this information and the information from the telephone companies, is the ITU is making the indicators. Now, as the IBGE to Brazil speak, it's important to have that a national level to find a way to know a lot of information, then at least in the point of view of the ITU, we will be in position of begin to collect all this information and try to harmonize. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I realize I've probably ducked Mike's question on autonomous system numbers, but I don't think we've got time to
to start on internet indicators at the moment. I'd like to join me and thank all the panelists, and I'd like to thank you, the audience, for your patience and participation. Thank you very much.